I'm John Batchelor with Professor William Anthony Hay of Arizona State University, helping me to understand heroic paintings before and after the success of the American Revolution through the eye. One eye was good, one was not, of a man named John Trumbull, who was born in Connecticut to a very famous governor who changed sides. Mr. Trumbull was a Harvard graduate, good for him, but in 1789, he returned to his native land. Was he disappointed or was he pleased, to our understanding, Will?
He was pleased. He was ambitious. And he had not been pleased at his prospects in England, painting in England. He'd always wanted to come back. He was a sincere American patriot. And he had not gotten the number of commissions and the kind of commissions in England he wanted. So he had the idea of painting the revolution, of doing what West had done for James Wolfe, the victor at Quebec, doing that for Washington and doing that for other American figures. Trumbull had been a friend to Thomas Jefferson. He'd known Jefferson in Paris. In fact, Jefferson tried to talk him into being a diplomat and to working for Jefferson in Paris, working as a secretary. And instead, Trumbull goes back to America to teach us, to show us, and literally show us the revolution. In fact, this makes me think of another painting, not a military scene, but a civil scene, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And Trumbull relied very heavily on Jefferson's memory, Jefferson's descriptions, and getting the people in the space right. And what did that room in Independence Hall in Philadelphia look like? What was the layout? But it's easy for us to think of heroic episodes in battle, but this was a different kind of heroism and a different kind of epic, the epic moment of independence.
Now we come to the Tolstoy moment. All happy families are the same, but the unhappy have their own stories, and Trumbull did. He married a beautiful woman who was his model, and she had a vulnerability, which we call chemical dependence. She was an alcoholic. And when he arrived back in America with his wife, he fell out with his family. How did it play out, Will?
She didn't like them, and they didn't really like her. So awkward to have married an English woman. And Connecticut wasn't London either. When coming back to America, it didn't have that his family were sort of established leaders in Connecticut, prosperous. But again, this is not the metropolis of London with the art and culture to which she had been accustomed. And it's moving to an unfamiliar place that she found to be less friendly. And those differences, of course, even with people who don't have problems of chemical dependency, or even people today, moving into an unfamiliar place or difficulties within larger families, that can wear you down. And I think that wore her down, and she relied on drink. She relied on alcohol to, as we say, self-medicate. But that was very damaging to her, and it made their lives together much more difficult.
He lives another 30 years, and he turns to completing his vision of what he'd witnessed when he was with Washington at Boston and Charleston, which is the battle scenes, where this is the year before the 250th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Where can the listeners find his paintings, Will?
Well, some of the paintings are scattered, but the history paintings are at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. So the famous scenes, Declaration of Independence, Yorktown Surrender, and Saratoga, but also Washington at Trenton. And another scene from quite early on, from Bunker Hill, early in the Revolution. So those scenes, those are really designed and intended as teaching the Revolution. There was a film series in the United States in the Second World War entitled Why We Fight. And that title could be applied to Trumbull's history paintings, Why We Fought. He's trying to tell another generation to keep it alive, the vividness of it. This is what we did. This is why we did it. So those are in the U.S. Capitol. Trumbull did not do well financially. He struggled with money, and I think that was also a burden within his marriage and a reason why he came back to the United States and then at one point goes back to England for a time. He eventually sold his paintings to Yale University in return for an annuity, an annual income for the rest of his life. And so that that exchange with Yale University, that's where many of Trumbull's other paintings were. And he had arranged for them to be displayed and planned their display at Yale. Since then, the authorities at Yale have changed a lot of that. It's a Yale's a different place in many ways than it was in the 19th century, but those pictures are still at Yale University, and it's interesting. The book that prompted the review, the piece that I wrote by Richard Brookhiser. Brookhiser came to Trumbull as a subject because, as a student at Yale, he'd sat underneath these paintings. Who did this painting? What is this painting about? So you get drawn into the life of an artist, the man behind the pictures. And I think he quite accurately describes Trumbull as the bard of American independence. What others in epic moments have done with words, Trumbull did with the image by capturing and keeping alive.
We have about a minute, Professor. Where is Trumbull in the pantheon? Is it Copley, Stewart, West? Where is he judged?
I'd say Copley stands quite high, quite highly. He was more than a portraitist. I mean, we know Gilbert Stuart for his portraits. Trumbull's style went out of fashion.
I see.
And history painting went out of fashion in the United States. So it becomes more of a relic than something that was a popular or a cultivated taste by mid-century and later. It's something of historic interest, which is why textbooks reproduce this painting quite often.
And we get to introduce John Trumbull to John Batchelor. It's a pleasure. Professor William Anthony Hay is the Associate Director for Public Programs, professor in the School of Civic and Economic Thought and Leadership, Arizona State University, writing for Civitas Outlook at Civitas Institute, the University of Texas at Austin. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,